first panelist this afternoon goes by the name of Jay Leachman. Now, the Leachman name has been synonymous for excellence and Angus cattle for over a half century, at least as far back as I can remember anyway. Jay Leachman and his father, Les, has owned and operated Leachman Angus Ranch in Bozeman, Montana since 1973. Prior to that time, they were affiliated with Ankeny Angus in Rhinebeck, New York, and those of us who go back that far realize what an impact Ankeny Angus had on the Angus business. Currently, Jay runs and operates about 250 Angus cows, raises an additional 100 calves each year via embryo transfer. He hosts the business bull sale each March, and they market females, semen, and embryos not only throughout the United States, but also throughout Latin America, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, several other foreign countries, and I might just say that Jay also has given valuable advice and has sort of been a consultant to the late Queen Mother's herd in Great Britain. So it gives me great pleasure at this time to present to you Jay Leachman.
Thank you, John. Can y'all hear me? I'm a long ways from an expertise in public speaking. I like one-on-one much better, and hopefully you can all understand what I have to say.
If you don't hit that, that won't follow.
Okay. We'll try it. You need it. I propose the question to you, selling the bull or your program. The success may very well depend on the answer to that question. Making that decision to be in the cattle business is a big one, but the success of your endeavor may well depend on the selling of that product. Remember that the cattle that you sell are going to be there on a regular basis if you do a good job of breeding. And I'm not much of a joke teller, but I'm going to get mine out of the way now, and I'm certainly not the speaker that Bill Beale was, and I compliment him on trying to get young people into agriculture, and I really think we need to give him a round of applause for that one fact, because we're in a declining mode, and I think Bill did a hell of a job for us. I want to try to illustrate the answer to this question. There was Sven Inoli, and I can say this because I'm in California, and I've only got a couple friends, Steve Brooks and Dick Tokash from North Dakota. They're probably Norwegian, but Sven and Ole got laid off from work. So they thought that probably their best thing was they better go down to the local unemployment office and sign up for unemployment checks. And Sven went first, and he went up, and the lady asked him what he did for his job. And he says, "Well, I work in a lady's undergarment factory. And I'm a sewer." And she says, "Boy, that's not a very technical job. I will give you $300 a month for unemployment." And so Sven's partner, Ole, comes up, and he's kind of shy, and he says, "Well, I'm a diesel bidder." And she says, "Well, that sounds like a very technical job, and certainly more than a sewer would ever commend." He says, "I'll give you $500 a month." Well, this sent Finn up. He was upset. He was beside himself, and he went back up to the lady and says, "How can you do that?" He says, "I work in this garment factory beside Ole, and I sew the elastic on the underpanties for ladies' underwear." And he says, "When I get done with that, I hand them to Ole. And only puts him on his head and says, 'Diesel fitter.'" And he hands them down and they get shipped away. Well, it's probably not the answer that you were looking for. And most people's advertising, as Keith pretty well dramatically pointed out in some of the ads, we probably have a tendency to sell the bull and not our program. But the success of your program in your breeding establishment will be that exactly, and that's selling your program. As I'm going to be a little bit redundant with what Keith had to say, but identifying your customer. When my father and I moved to Bozeman in 1972, little did we know that we were on an adventure of a lifetime. Trying to identify the customer that we wanted to serve was the reason that we moved to Montana. We had lived in New York and we were surrounded by very high concentrations of registered people in the registered business, investment type people. And we had moved gradually from New York to South Dakota, where we operated a large ranch. We had a ranch in Iowa, in Nursery, Texas. And we found out what the real world cattle business was all about, and that was the commercial business. So we decided to move to Montana, mostly because my father fell in love with that country when we were out there trying to supply a ranch in South Dakota with registered Angus cattle that we could not do from New York. He fell in love with the country, fell in love with the people. He got to know them on a one-to-one basis as he procured cattle for them. We found out at that time that Angus cattle were in the minority to Hereford cattle. When we first went there, some 85% of the cattle in Montana had a red background and white faces. Angus cattle were much in the minority, and we saw a potential market that was second to none. Today, that's the other scenario. It's almost 85 to 90% black, and reds are in the minority. I attribute much of that success to Angus cattle and all the attributes that we have. Meeting our customers' needs is very important. Once we identified the people that we were after, and that was the commercial man, and he had very set priorities in marketing of his cattle, we tried to help him with that. Today, we provide services, not only the bulls that we sell them, but we provide AI services for them, trying to help them in their selection of AI bulls. We help with shipping calves for them, branding. At branding time, if they need extra labor, we try to help them with that. And we try to find markets as trying to identify the cattle that fit into the chain. Certainly the CAB program has been instrumental in helping us with that, identifying our cattle through their chains. But once you do that, you have to develop a program. And that comes from feedback from those people as to the cattle that they need. Breeding the cattle is the next step. Selling the products, and that's what Keith really wants me to probably spend more time on. And I think we're all going to talk about customer satisfaction. I think that's probably been the theme of our whole talks today by everyone. As we develop our program, certainly we're going to have a lot of products to deal with. I think as one gets into the purebred or the seed stock business, we have a tendency to probably go out and buy the cattle, create a lot of them, and then try to find a market. I think that's probably just a little bit, excuse my language, ass backwards. We need to find the market that we want, develop the cattle, and sell them to them. But we are going to have bulls, and they're going to range. If you're fortunate enough, you may sell some purebred seed stock bulls to other purebred breeders. Probably you're going to sell a fair amount of range bulls. And yes, we're all going to have some culls, some steers that don't meet the criteria. And in females, we probably oversell the top one there, the donor aspect. We're probably overusing that as a selling tool today. We're going to have mature cows with calves that probably have outlived their usefulness or age, and we're going to need to find a market for them. We're going to have bred heifers. We're going to have heifer calves, and yes, we're going to have culls in those too. And they are worth so many dollars to us, and we need to do a good job of marketing them as well. If we're fortunate, we may have bulls that for reasons that we may have raised them or purchased them, that semen is made available to the other purebred breeders, certainly to other commercial breeders, and AI certificates, as long as we keep them implemented, are a source of income, and we need to utilize that to the best of our advantages. Embryos. Again, probably more of them are being supplied than we really probably need, but it is out there, and it's a potential market. We have frozen embryos, we have flushes, and we have pregnant recips, all of which can be marketed in our programs. But designing that marketing plan is probably the key and where I will focus most of my attention. We can have private treaty sales. I think a lot of people do that. I'm not sure what the percentage is in Montana, but it's fairly high. But a lot of people that do that find that they spend an inordinate amount of time trying to sell a bull. A public auction offers different methods and quicker methods, and I think probably establishes values fairer for the day, not only for the purchaser, but also for the seller. And we probably have a tendency not to over-evaluate that way. And when we do have a production sale, I think there's a lot that can go into it. And I think one of the things that's overlooked, and what I spend a great deal of time in my merchandising, is the use of our sale catalog. I have had more requests, not only before my sale, but after my sale. It is probably the most important advertising tool that I have, because I choose to have a public auction sale where I sell bulls. I try to put that together in a very concise, readable, informative style, and I carry that style from one year to the next. Yes, I will vary it slightly within that, but the cover is the same. I've chosen to do that because people, when they receive it, they recognize it, and in March of the spring of the year, I probably receive on the average of 5 to 6 to 10 catalogs a week for a solid 60 days. And I have to set my catalog because I know that my customers probably receive those same catalogs in the quantities that I do. I want them to read mine and certainly read it, if not on the top of the pile, very close to it. So they recognize it year in and year out. The only thing that changes on that is the date that I use. And that's the same every year. It's 2002 in our past sales. You can use consignment sales. There again, if you're a part of a consignment sale, you're probably going to be in a catalog. You need to set yourself apart and promote the cattle that you have, because your competition is directly across the page, and you can set that apart if you do so. Again, what Keith was saying, logos. Developing a logo that certainly is catchable, eye-catchable, repeatable, something that people will recognize. We have chosen, my goodness, I'm all out of time, marketing themes. I agree wholeheartedly with Keith, it's hard not to use some of them. I'm going to have to skip a little bit. Developing slogans, color schemes, all of what Keith was talking about. This is our logo. Anything that we publish has that logo in a very key spot. I can't overemphasize what Keith was saying. We chose the saying Leachman Business Bulls because when we moved to Montana, I was raised in the show ring. We were very successful at Ankeny Farms, Ankeny Angus. I don't think our record was probably ever topped in terms of the Bulls winning at Chicago, Bill.
Right.
But we chose a different route. We saw the performance, and I give Bill a lot of credit for this last one down here, and that's the form, breeding the form and performance. It still holds true today, some 20, 30 years later. And it's a vital part of our promotional program. Other things that we have used over the past several years is CREATE. That was a headline of a sale that was extremely successful a few years ago. Focusing on the horizon, keeping an eye to the future, gives birth to the next generation of Angus. I can't overstate that in terms of the promotional aspect because it's our philosophy. We try to stay in the forefront with our promotion, and key is to be out in front of the competition. And I think that probably states it as well as anything that I can say. This is an old one, but it never goes old. It never tires. The Leachman Angus direction. It was practical. It is practical. It's alive. It's aggressive. It's performance-based. It's efficiency-oriented. It's quality-conscious. It's a product you can believe in. And it's set us apart for the last 30 years. The last one, follow the right program and buy the right breeding stock from the right people who have done the right things themselves. Leachman business bulls are the right choice, and we have to promote that, and we do in everything that we say and do as we follow to our customers. I'm going to stop there because I know that I'm almost out of time. This slide is goes over some of the things, I think the advertising things that are available, but the repeatability of one of the things that Keith said, and I think that's to be really careful. We need to do that. As we sell our program, as the CAB logos were, when you recognize that, it's you know what you're getting. And the same thing is true when you use logos and everything that you do. I question the radio and television just as other people have done. I think the internet sales can be a tremendous promotional tool. Success, advertising, preparation. Keith really didn't touch on it, but deadlines and dates. I think the key is that you have to be out ahead. And he touched on that. We have to be selling all the time. Developing the theme for the ads, having good photographs if we're going to use them, or key logos or key figurines, if you will. Copy for advertising needs to be concise and to the point. Logo application and summarize those key benefits. Make your program a success through effective merchandising. Sell your program, not just the bull. There are no shortcuts in this business. Identify your customer, plan a program, breed good cattle, give them personal contact, and above all, treat your customers with the respect that they deserve, and always sell your program. Make success your habit. Thank you.